You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
This week on Family, our guest is the Secretary General of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference, Sister Hermenegild Makoro. I had a discussion with her on a wide range of pastoral activities that the Church in Southern Africa is involved with.
My name is Sister Hermenegild Makoro. I'm a missionary sister of the Precious Blood. I've been at the Bishops' Conference as Secretary General. This is my sixth year, but I've been there before as an Associate Secretary General for 6 years. So I have become part of the furniture of the Bishops' Conference. Mine really is to run the affairs of the Secretariat. The bishops come for their meetings, they have their plenaries, they meet twice a year and make resolutions, decisions, and they disappear. And I have to make sure that those decisions are carried out. And I liaise a lot with the president, who is Archbishop Stephen Breslin, the Archbishop of Cape Town, yes.
Recently, we read about the 50th anniversary of the Lenten Fund. So you are kind of celebrating its golden jubilee. Can you tell us about the Lenten Fund in South Africa and what it means to the Church in South Africa or in Southern Africa?
The Bishop's Lenten Appeal Fund or campaign has, as you just said, we are celebrating 50 years. It's been a campaign that was started 50 years ago, and it has gone well up to now. That we, in 2015, we were able to collect 10.8, I think, if I'm not mistaken, million within 6 weeks. It's only last year where things went down. I think we collected about 9-point-something million.
But these are million rands.
Yes, million rands. And one also takes to account the economic situation. But one thing that is evident is the sacrifice that people make during this time, during the 6 weeks of Lent. And the people are generous. And this has become, the Lenten Appeal campaign has become a tradition. Even where a priest sometimes doesn't remind people, people know. They will ask for the purple envelopes, because they are envelopes that are printed and people take them home and put whatever contribution they are able to do. And it has helped the church in Southern Africa to sustain itself, to be able to do few projects. Like this money that is being collected, the Lenten Appeal money, is used for the education of the priests. That means we assist the seminaries. It's used for the poor, for the small projects that the people are doing in the different dioceses. It could be soup kitchens, it could be projects related to AIDS, anything that a diocese is trying to do. So the money really is collected for the poor and the works of the church. When I refer to the works of the church, it's where then we look at to maintain, also to assist the agencies that are at the conference, the seminaries, of course, it's a big one, and then the different departments like liturgy, evangelization, all those projects, the departments that are under the bishop's secretariat.
So these funds are raised from the parishes and submitted to the bishops' conference, yes. And from there on they are divided.
Yes, there is a committee at the bishops' conference where we receive applications from the different dioceses. Each diocese has a Lenten Appeal director, so he's the one who sees that the money is collected, the envelopes are distributed, the mite boxes for children are distributed, and then they are collected and the money is sent to the Secretariat, and there is a committee that looks at that, because we also, when we receive these applications, and then we assess them and distribute the money. So there is nothing really that is kept. The 10 million that I said was received in, collected in 2015, we distribute it. What we leave is to leave money to prepare for the next Lenten appeal.
Sounds like a big project indeed, and a big campaign. Now that you are celebrating its Golden Jubilee, are there any activities, special activities that you'll be doing around this campaign?
Yes, because the office has prepared some projects wanting the different dioceses even to report as to what the Lenten appeal has been for them for the last 50 years, the projects that they have done in the dioceses, and the report back, so that people see the sacrifice that they make is not just for collecting money, but it always is plowed back into the community, to the church.
Can I take you to another area that we noticed this year was in the area of human trafficking and around the Feast of St. Bakita in February. You seem to have had a lot of activities. Would you like to share some of those activities with us?
Yes, we have the office, and this office is a joint effort of the bishops and the religious in the conference area. So we have an office that is based at the conference, and this year, what's the person in the office has been doing that every year during around the feast day of Bakita, because the conference has adopted Bakita as our patron saint for trafficking. She has been going out organizing activities to create awareness in different dioceses. Last year they were in Klerksdorp, and this year they went to Polokwane. And the main thing that I'm sure you have observed, it was not only the Catholic Church, it's a combined venture with other faiths, which actually this is what is happening. The training that sister in the office gives, she works with different, the Salvation Army, the Methodists, she's involved with the police, and always keep on to creating awareness to the public about trafficking. And so this year it was done in the Diocese of Polokwane, again as creating awareness to the people of what trafficking is all about.
How bad is human trafficking in Southern Africa?
From what we gather from the office, it is bad. But unfortunately, maybe it's not so much reported, but we know there are very terrible incidences of trafficking that take place. And our office have actually met even with the young people who have been trafficked. And I have also met with them. I have spoken to them. It's dehumanizing. It is there, but I don't think it is been publicized enough.
I know also that as the Bishop's Conference, you are putting in place child protection policies and so forth. Would you like to share a little bit more on those?
Maybe I should start with saying to you, the SACBC already since 2000, they have already started their putting protocols in place, mainly looking at clergy. And a lot has been done in that regard. Priests have been trained, workshopped. Each priest has a protocol in hand. But don't ask me whether they actually read or whatever. But I know if something happens, people would always refer to the protocol. And now we have developed also a child protection policy. We are looking at what is happening. The schools have already produced their own protocol in schools. And now we have also produced the protocol for the parishes. What happens, the catechism for all people who are working with children in any area of the church?
The church in South Africa had a great moment with the beatification of Benedict Daswa. Can you tell us a little bit more about what has meant for the people in Southern Africa, the beatification of Benedict Daswa?
The beatification of Daswa has been a great moment of faith revival in the area. The excitement, the pride people had, not only the Catholic community, but even people around in the country were so taken up by this event. Because with Daswa, he encompasses everybody. He was a family man. So men are able to associate with him. He was a teacher. Teachers are also there. He was a catechist. Catechists are there. He liked farming. So everybody can really take a piece from Daswa. So that's really, it's a faith reviver for us as a church. The men were there by themselves to go and look at themselves in the spirit of Daswa. How did Daswa look after his family as a father of the family? So it's not just something that happened then. People are trying hard to make it real, that it is something that it's happening today. It's not that he died then, but he is alive.
Who was Benedict Daswa?
Benedict Daswa is a man from the northern part of South Africa in Limpopo. He was a teacher. He was a catechist. He was a family man. He was everything. He was a sportsman. And he was murdered for his own belief because he did not believe in witchcraft. So the community had agreed that people should pay 5 rand for people because they were suspecting somebody who might have bewitching another. And then he said, I'm not going to pay this 5 rand. So maybe that's why you might have seen that in some of the campaigns, there was this 5 rand. It was related to that. So he refused and he was brutally murdered on the 16th of June. So that's why I'm saying even the youth in South Africa are able to associate themselves with Daswa, because the 16th of June, it's the youth day in South Africa that is being celebrated. Like now, the youth in South Africa are preparing for something that we call Mini World Youth Day, an experience of the World Youth Day for all the young people in the conference area. So they have also taken Daswa, put there as their model. So Daswa is a model of faith, and really not only faith, and we take him as a martyr, the way he was brutally killed.
Sister Hemenegild Makoro, the Secretary General of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference.
I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudato Jesus Christus.